Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Uma and Ezra on the Evening Edition, 6:09 p.m. Now, on Monday in Parliament, there was a discussion about the government's plan to introduce a bill against fake news. Now, in response to this, the Asia Internet Coalition, it represents internet companies like Facebook and Google, said that they shared the government's desire to make the internet safer and better. But here's the thing. The solution to apply a prescriptive law to deal with a complex issue like false information could in fact curtail freedom.
Yes, and it can. I mean, the idea of fake news, if you go out there, Ezra, and you ask people, not just your average citizen, but even, I guess, ministers, people in authority, to define what fake news is,
yeah.
I don't think you're going to get a standard response, let alone members of the public, and let alone, you know, if policymakers themselves haven't understood the situation entirely.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not understood the situation. It's a situation that's constantly evolving. And
yeah.
That's why there is no... it's essentially the misinformation that has existed for the longest time, but
yeah.
Now we've given it this new label,
this new
fake
term,
news,
right.
Right? Exactly.
And discerning whether information is true or false, of course, can be highly subjective, and it risks compromising access to information and, you know, the legitimate exchange of ideas. And that's a very, very dangerous situation to be in.
Yes, so we have a similar argument that we make with, say, the Printing Presses Act, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's this idea that somehow society should regulate the media, or there should be a certain amount of self-regulation. Yes, things can get out of hand. We see it happening with things like Fox News, for example. But how society regulates that is through advertising. Advertisers will pull the dollars.
Right.
You know, as opposed to a law coming down and debating on the merits of something, whether it's misinformation, disinformation, or fake news.
Mm.
So, I mean, who defines it? Who decides what's fake and what's not? Do we put that in the hands of just our judges?
Yeah.
Right? So it becomes a really complex issue.
There are questions as to what this bill will entail and the impact it's going to have. So we're going to direct some of those queries to our guest, Fung Cheng Leong, who's the Deputy Chairperson of the Bar Council's IT and Cyber Laws Committee. Cheng Leong, thanks for being with us on the program. Tell us, do you share the same concerns about these proposed laws potentially curtailing access to information and the exchange of ideas?
Yes, indeed. I would suggest that if assuming that a new law is introduced, safeguard must be given to certain, you know, parties, the intermediaries, you know, for example, like Facebook. If I'm Facebook or if I'm a website owner, what protection do I have? People use my platform to disseminate fake news. So if the government's going to impose strict liability on the intermediaries, then the intermediaries will, of course, if they are going to jail, they obviously will want to close down their platform. So in a way, it curtails the dissemination of information. Then we're talking about, you know, people who do not know much about what's happening around out there. And nevertheless, they found this news to be interesting and they share it with their friends and all the other contacts. Would there be, you know, a safeguard for them to protect them in case of to be found that this information is fake? So are we going to hold them all up in court, or are we going to give them a certain, you know, safeguard to protect them? Especially we're talking about people who do not know how to use the internet well. So if people are doubtful and they're not sharing it, then you have another stifling of dissemination of information. So people will be scared, oh, what if I share this, I'm going to go to jail. Then in a way, entirely curtails free speech.
Right. Certain quarters like Asian Internet Coalition are calling for more input before finalizing the legislation. What sort of information or data would be most helpful to have?
What the government should do is, instead of now what they're doing is, they're calling for meetings and asking for views of every people who attend the meeting. But the most important part is actually the law itself, the draft bill itself, circulated to the relevant members of the public, to have a read and see whether this can do or not. I mean, of course, the government would have their own certain position. It's, you know, strictly there must be a law against fake news, but the members public would want to look into how is fake news defined. And I think most important part is what happens is, let's say there's a fake news going on and it's about a certain person, and the person says this is fake news, and people are charged because of disseminating it. But subsequently, it was found out that that fake news is actually real news, something that that's an actual fact. And of course, these people are all charged in court for nothing. So that is, I think, one thing we need to look into. And other than the bill itself, of course, they should come up with some guidelines on how to define, you know, a certain provision in the draft bill. A little bit more clarity, because if there's too much ambiguity in the law itself, then it opens up for abuse.
Right, and the committee to draft these laws, as mentioned, it was formed at the end of January, and the final draft of the bill looks to be finalized by next week. And, you know, given that elections are around the corner, can we actually expect to see this proposed law passed anytime soon?
Well, it depends on the urgency of the matter. Certain laws take years to pass, but certain laws take very fast to pass. So it really depends on what is the, you know, the agenda of the government of the day, what is important to them. Looks like the government wants to curtail fake news at the moment. I do not know for what reason they want. If you are an opposition party or you are a person who don't like the government, you obviously say it's like to curtail against the free speech of the third parties so that they basically don't say bad things about the government. But on the other hand, the government's position is it could be because of the election, a lot of news are coming out. Because the election is coming up, people would want to generate more fake news to attack each other. So it becomes a method of controlling the information so that, for example, no riots or, you know, no tension is created between, for example, one party or one, you know, between races or between religions. And any fake news that, you know, is created to attack the race and religion of either party, it will create a very serious repercussion.
So, Cheng Yong, the dissemination of false information is not something new, but when it comes to tackling false information that's shared on the internet, what do you think is the best way?
A lot of ways. Obviously, people say education is key. I guess law is one of them. Two is education. Three is the enforcement by the platform providers take down fake news. How fast they take it down. So if they're faster they are, then, well, in a way, it's to avoid disaster from happening. And of course, we don't talk about fake news, we're not talking about political news. Because sometimes you see like medical information being sent online, certain drinks or certain flowers can cure cancer, and people took the word for it and could cause serious injury and death to people. So this kind of news should also, you know, fall under fake news.
Well, Cheng Yong, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us on that topic. That was Fung Cheng Yong, the Deputy Chairman of the Bar Council's IT and Cyber Laws Committee. And he's right, you know, the wide-ranging ramifications of such a vague law, especially when it comes to defining what fake news is. You know, if there is some form of article related to issues of health, and the information provided is false, therefore, you know, that particular posting should be retracted as well.
Yeah, but even that isn't actually considered fake news, right? I mean, that's misinformation, right?
Yeah.
It's in the sense that it's not actively. So I guess most academics would define fake news as the active attempt at providing disinformation to people. So in that sense, like what they're doing, there's like a farm of people in Chechnya who are just coming up with stories, right, about...
Very close to Russia.
Yeah, you know, about a human smuggling ring in pizza joints, which was what went viral in the United States, right? That was paid for, it was intentional, it was created, there was not a scintilla of truth in any of it. That's fake news, right? So, you see, even here, there is this ambiguity on what is fake and what isn't. Who knows? Maybe drinking the juice of, like, I don't know, ladies' fingers can have some good effects if you have cancer. Who knows, right? But whether that's fake news is the question.
Well, we're going to be finding out what Parliament thinks about this particular bill. I'm sure in the next few days we'll keep our eyes posted on this particular development. Here's some music by Hudson Taylor.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.